As I record this 15th episode of the Embodied Leader podcast, summer is in full swing in my beloved province of Nova Scotia. And you know what happens in summer on the east coast of Canada? Humidity. The air is thick. And as the locals say, "Ooh, she's close today, isn't she?" And she, being the dampness of the air, is. Now, I love summer just as much as the next person, but I find myself longing for the return of autumn. Virgo vibes are strong over here, people, no lie. There are visceral sensations when I think of sunny, cool mornings and warm afternoons and then cool evenings that allow deeper sleep, much deeper than the fitful, soggy summer mess of hot nights in Halifax. I can map it in my body right now. There's a warmth in my chest, a fluidity and ease to my muscles. My gaze is soft, and my eyes can move easily as I take in the bright colors and plants and artwork in my office as I record this. My belly feels calm, and I feel held. That's pretty specific, right? Naming the felt sensations in my body hasn't always been easy. In fact, until 17 years ago, I would say I spent a good portion of my life not feeling anything in my body. What I didn't know at the time was lack of sensation can be just as valuable a cue as felt sensation. Stick around for this episode to hear all about what to do when you're stuck in story and felt sensation isn't available to you or the people you work with. Welcome back to the Embodied Leader Podcast. I'm Elise Bessler, voice and embodied life and leadership coach, and I spend my time supporting coaches and people in leadership to embody their inner truth on a nervous system level so they can feel safe to share it with the world. Now, I mentioned a minute ago that I spent a good portion of my life disconnected from my body. Honestly, I would describe my experience as more of a floating orb of a brain and a head than a whole body. I kind of giggle about that because I think of what that actually might look like, right? I'm thinking like a space helmet, you know, walking around feeling disconnected from my body. I couldn't name a sensation if I tried. And when I did try, I would immediately pop back into my head and I would talk about my backstory or my future fears and anxieties. Now, Deb Dana, who I've studied polyvagal theory with, which is a nervous system theory, tells us that our story, so that which we carry around in our head, follows our nervous system state. So our story follows our state. At that time in my life, I was spending my time in a collapsed, dissociated state, and anything else was perceived as a threat to my brain. So the overthinking and the inability to feel my body makes so much sense. Because to be honest, it wasn't safe for me to explore felt sensation. I learned at a very young age that my body wasn't a safe place to live in. I was bullied for the space I took up in this world. I was bullied for the body I lived in. And so dissociating from that body was a protective output. And it was a catch-22 because that lack of safety originated in my body at the nervous system level before the story started, but then the story kept me from feeling the sensations in my body. So let's talk about the story. What is story? Well, for me, it was everything other than what was present in the moment. It was all of the terrible things I heard people say about me. It was about how I was perceived culturally. It was people-pleasing and toxically so, and always being hypervigilant and on the lookout for cues that someone might not accept me. I had to bypass the felt sensations in my body in order to keep up with all of the thoughts. It was wise and adaptive. And it was also fucking exhausting. Raise your hand if you can relate. Now, I share this story to support the next part of this episode, which is a little bit more practical. How do you begin to feel sensations in your body and come out of the story? And more importantly, if you use somatic cues in your coaching and your leadership, How do you support other people who also find themselves stuck in story and unable to feel sensations in their body? I frame all of my work from a trauma-informed perspective so that we can begin the process of causing less harm in our work. Everything I'm going to share is rooted in nervous system science and really the professional experiences that I've either facilitated or witnessed. So if you're new to trauma-informed coaching and leadership, something important to remember is that we cannot force safety and we cannot force felt sensation in ourselves or in the people we work with. If you or your client or someone you're supporting is having a hard time naming the sensation, let that be the truth. Let it stand on its own. This isn't a fast track to felt sensation. No, that is way too threatening to our brains. This is a slow burn. It's an opportunity for new patterns to emerge and take hold. We need to give ourselves time to explore the newness of this. Yes, I'm going to talk about toxic capitalism and marketing. They tell us the opposite, don't they? They tell us that we should have simple and quick ways to regulate our nervous system and five steps to nervous system regulation or tips and tricks to come out of story and into your body. Blech. Phooey. Blech. That, in and of itself, is harmful. Remember, slow burn. So that leads me to the first point on building greater capacity to support coming out of story and into your body, or to facilitate it in the people you work with. Cultivating felt safety. Now, I talk about this a lot on this podcast. The nervous system is the operating system of our bodies. And if we or the people we work with don't feel safe at that level, any of the work or the tools that we use are likely to cause harm or drive our systems into further dissociated or anxious states. When I developed the Embodied Leader Incubator program that I'm launching this fall, it was for this reason. And this is where we start in the program. Feeling safe in our own bodies is paramount to shifting story, beliefs, and yes, even acknowledging those felt sensations in our bodies. That's because all of those can be very threatening to our brains. I mentioned that earlier. Facilitating lasting change is rooted in surrounding our work and tools with safety at the nervous system level. The next important point to remember when we're exploring supporting ourselves and others in coming out of story and into our bodies is to use baby steps. Now, I mentioned the slow burn aspect of this a few minutes ago, and that's because we can't force this change. When we surround our change work with a shroud of felt safety, there's likely more space for permission and patience. And permission is important in that we're building the capacity to be new at this, right? These patterns in ourselves and our clients are decades old. They are wise. They are protective. And when we create space for that permission, we're also creating space for felt safety. And patience in that these patterns will take some time to rewire. The shifts will be subtle at first, but the rewards are greater because we're not trying to force it. The next thought is that we practice feeling sensation with naming lack of sensation. And I mentioned this earlier at the beginning of this episode. For me, this was a game changer. I didn't know then that lack of sensation is actually a really important cue. If we bring awareness to and sit with lack of sensation long enough, felt sensation may start to show up on the periphery, even in tiny little glimmers. Small movements like wiggling fingers and toes can be helpful here. And the last thought I have on this practice is to practice with low stakes experiences and change making. I'm talking like a maximum 4 out of 10 on the trigger scale, so that we're not driving too much mobilized energy into a high stakes challenge, causing folks or ourselves to be driven further into a stress response. When we practice with low stakes, we give our nervous system and felt safety a chance to acclimate. So to sum up, the stories we carry around in our heads follow the state of our nervous system at an operating level. Story follows state. When we give our bodies the chance to explore felt safety and regulation, our stories will begin to change. Give yourself time. Give your clients and the people you work with time. This isn't a sprint. It's not even a marathon. It's a chance for our bodies to create new patterns while honoring the wisdom of the protective patterns. Because we do need to do that too. Honor the wisdom of that protection. The tools I'm teaching in the Embodied Leader Incubator this fall are focusing on felt safety and how we can bring this into our coaching and leadership. This is a 3-month cocoon of radical support where you can explore felt safety and nervous system literacy for yourself first, and then, of course, also bring that into your work with the people you support. Now, I've had a number of folks reach out and ask about whether or not the program is only for coaches and leaders, or if the nervous system work we're doing could support anyone. And the answer is yes. The answer is yes, that it can support anyone. Embodied leadership isn't just about leading other people. It's about leading ourselves first. Switch out running a business or being an entrepreneur for running a family or being in relationship with others, and you'll be set. So the doors are officially open. There's an extended payment plan for this program if that could be supportive. And there is also a BIPOC equity pay available as well. Finish this program with a toolkit of support for yourself and for your people, and the ability to navigate a stress response in your own body or someone else with confidence. This is the ability to feel your sensations and rewrite the story you carry. Check out the link in the show notes for all of the details on the program, or reach out to me at hello@elisebessler.com with questions. Check out my Instagram profile at Elise Bessler, and if we're not connected there, I would love to have you as part of my community. Thank you for being with me today. See you next time on The Embodied Leader.